Now, we've asked our guests to bring along some show-and-tell things as well. Now, Luke, what have you got in that ominous-looking jar under your seat? It's in a red plastic bag, this. What an... oh, my goodness.
So, this is a medieval antibiotic. So,
it's a milky fluid in a... I presume the jam jar's not medieval.
No, that's modern. I think possibly a Sainsbury's tastes the difference. Raspberry conserve, I think.
But you're going to take the lid off?
I will, if you want a whiff of this. I'll tell the story first of what's in it. So, we all know antimicrobial resistance, bacteria evolving resistance to the drugs we use to kill them, is a big problem. And so we're looking all the time for new ways to discover new antibiotics. We need new weapons as bacteria find ways to overcome them. And a group of British scientists led by Freya Harrison decided to look in the history books. And so this is from an Anglo-Saxon medieval medical text called Bald's Leech Book. And it's an eye salve. So it was used to treat eye styes, which are infections of the follicle of your eyelash. And so the recipe for this is to mix equal parts, either onion or leek. They're not sure from the translation of the medieval text which it was. Garlic, wine, and ox gall, which is the bile from an ox. And to leave it for 9 days to brew in a brass vessel, and then afterwards strain it. And then you have this eye salve, which is meant to be applied with a feather to the eye to cure your sty.
Have you tried it?
I haven't tried it, no. So unfortunately, this is only half strength. And this is what's really interesting about this. So I couldn't get hold of any ox bile. So it's only about half strength. So we always think that, you know, there's all these ancient approaches to medicine. And often we think of them as very non-sophisticated. We know garlic is antimicrobial. But in this recipe, they actually showed that it's the combination of the ingredients. Any of the ingredients on their own doesn't give you the full effect. It's really this unique combination that does it.
So if you put that on a Petri dish with some Staph aureus that causes sort of eye and sty infections and things, will it kill it?
Yes, it will. So it kills MRSA really, really well, which most people have probably heard of, a hospital superbug. They did mouse infections, and it's able to kill the MRSA in those as well. At the moment, there's lots of people trying to figure out exactly how it works, because, yeah, it could help guide our discovery of new antibiotics.
So just a general question, if you actually put that on your eye, mm-hmm. would I have an eye left afterwards? So cure my MRSA infection, but it would also render me blind, possibly, or would it be okay?
Possibly. The smell might give you the answer.
Let's have a go. Oh, my goodness. Actually, hang on, it's growing on me. That's okay, actually.
It's not too bad. Quite, garlic is the dominant smell. Yeah.
Give this a whiff, Beth. Do you like this?
I will concur, garlic is the very top smell.
A lot of garlic in there. Have you got any of that in your museum then, Sophie?
Possibly in the brasserie.
You could have after this show. Exactly. We might donate it. I mean, how much of a problem is superbug infections now? Because we are increasingly being told, our own chief medical officer said that the threat from bacterial infections we can't treat is rivaling terrorism in terms of the threat to humanity. Is that hyperbole or actually is that true?
I don't think that is hyperbole. There's arguments over the estimates. One prominent report said by 2050 this would be causing on the orders of millions of deaths and costing millions and millions of pounds. And we probably are looking at something on that scale if we don't act to stop the problem now. But there's some happy stories as well where things have continued to work. Penicillin's been used to treat syphilis since the 1940s, and that still works to this day. There's never been any resistance to it. So there's causes for hope as well.
Just as well it still works, isn't it, as well? Although I can't speak personally in this case. But I've got a question here from Steph, who says, what do you think we're going to be eating in the future and how well prepared are we in terms of our microbiomes for this? Because one of the other things that's your interest is the microbiome. Mm-hmm. Literally, we are what we eat, isn't it? What we put into our mouths affects the spectrum of bacteria that live on us and in us. How will foods of the future be considered in the light of what goes on in our intestines?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. I think in terms of our microbiome being able to deal with it, there is a slight worry here. So there's a new initiative, the Microbiome Conservancy, which is going to sample microbiomes from hunter-gatherer tribes and things like this to make sure we have samples of all these microbes that could potentially be lost because of our diets changing. But generally, it is a very flexible organ, in essence, in our body, and will pretty much adapt to most diets. That doesn't necessarily mean it'll be healthy. A lot of the time, if you eat certain diets, it can increase the amount of bacteria that can be harmful in the microbiome. But I would expect it to be flexible enough to deal with most of what we throw at it.
Luke, thanks very much.